Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Afternoons on the Score.
Von Nova, he's 4-0 lifetime against these Marlins with an ERA under 1. Should be a good start tonight.
He gets a swinging strike 3 on another cutter, and we're going to say farewell to the top of the first inning. Second base, Sanchez scampers over. And got him. 1-2-3 inning from Nova.
It's like Gotham City, bats everywhere. 4-1.
Von Nova has really, really been good tonight.
Oh, yeah.
The sinker is as good as we've seen. He's at the top of his game. He's always dominated the Marlins. Tonight, no exception.
Another cutter for strike three, and Nova has 9 straight that he's made into chalk outlines here in the 8th inning.
He has completely handcuffed these Marlins.
He likes the fish.
E5, 2 on, 1 out. And here comes Ricky Renteria. And that's going to be all for Nova, we believe. Crowd doesn't like it, but at pitch 111, you can understand it.
You never know. Maybe he'll look at him, and if he gets the answer to the question he wants, maybe he'll let him throw one or two more pitches. We'll see.
What did you tell him?
He wanted to take me out. I said, no. This is my game. This is my game. I'm going to pitch him over.
That's it. He got the answer he wanted.
It's Neil Walker.
If he hits a ball on the ground near anybody, it's going to be 2. 3 on the right side.
This should be it. One pitch later, complete game city from Nova.
I love you.
You
complete me.
And a giant steal game one. They score 3 runs in the bottom of the 8th off Pedro Strop.
It's like, all right, let's get to the playoffs.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Yes, we are. McNeil and Parkins back together on The Score. What up, Mac?
That sounded, you were prescient when you said that a couple months ago. Let's just get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get to the playoffs. And then when you get to the playoffs, you don't have to see all of those relief pitchers you don't want to see because somebody out of the rotation, at least one guy out of the rotation, possibly 2, move into the pen and you can take some of the stench out of that roster because right now, there are some bad roster spots on that Cubs team.
Yes, there certainly is. And it's even if they're going to do a change at the deadline and they're going to put a guy from the rotation into the pen, I still find it to be highly unlikely that Pedro Strop doesn't try. He's not asked to get big outs in the postseason. I just don't think that they've got enough to give up in order to get guys to replace him and push him down the line. He's been so good for 5 years. Mm-hmm. He'd have to be awful over the next 2 months.
He's working on it.
I guess. Yeah, you're right. But he's
building a resume toward awful.
He is. He'd have to be consistently awful. They're going to give him every chance in the world, especially if they continue to pull away in the NL Central. They will have opportunities to get him right. And I would just be surprised if they were playing in games in October and Pedro Strop wasn't a high-leverage guy.
On the ball that tied the game last night, the one that was hit over Albert Elmora's head, I asked the same question I asked about 4 weeks ago. Why is Albert Elmora playing so shallow when it's always a good idea to keep the ball in front of you when you're protecting a lead? I wonder about these things. That was among the things troubling about the Cubs last night. Good to see Robel Garcia continue to rock it, right? Somebody has to. Might as well be him.
Yeah, that's the type of thing that doesn't feel like it'll last 6 weeks, but if it lasts 6 more games, just start him every game. Right? Like that is a prime ride the hot hand candidate. Play him every damn game if you have to until he cools down.
And he's in the lineup tonight. Joe Maddon telling Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight earlier today regarding Addison Russell, in case you haven't heard much of the station since Joe was on at noon. Dan's talked about it quite a bit. He's at the end of his rope with Addison Russell. And the Cubs, who stood behind who they thought was a burgeoning superstar a few years ago, it is not looking good, and man, that is really unfortunate. I would have never expected him to take such a precipitous dip, not only in his numbers and his production, but the attitude falling apart of late is just crazy to me.
Listen, I don't understand how you could admit publicly when you've been in the big leagues for as long as he is that he doesn't know the signs. It's a staggering
admission. How does that happen?
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, Wilson Contreras admitting that he dialed back from his exercise and weightlifting program was greeted and treated as a staggering admission when, on some levels, it's understandable. He was playing so much. He had been an all-star. He had all of this success. You know, how do you sustain that through the dog days of summer? So it was criticized, but it was also candid. This is candid, but it's baffling. There's no explanation for a guy who's a veteran to not know the signs when he's playing. It's impossible.
If you're a first-year player and you're too embarrassed to admit to your manager or to a coach maybe you've developed some sort of kindredship with that, I don't get this. I can see that your first year in the league, but
right.
I certainly would think at some point, if you're going to stick around, and it was obvious early in his career that he was going to be a part of their future, why in the world wouldn't you pull somebody aside and say, hey, I'm not following this. Can you walk me through this? I don't get it.
I have no idea. And the thing is, and I don't know if you heard this part of the show yesterday, but before that story on ESPN was out about Russell admitting that he didn't know the signs, I said it was the worst game that I could remember from a big leaguer from the mental side of the game. Right, you've seen 0-for-5 with 5 strikeouts. You've seen a guy make multiple errors. You've seen a guy, right, you know, melt down and get ejected and hurt his team and get ejected in the first or second inning. But multiple issues in the field, issues on the base paths.
Temper.
A bad throw, yep. Temper, losing the bat.
Bad caddying.
To then on top of it admit that you didn't know the signs and there was that mental component to it. It's one of the all-time bad games for a big league player. It really is.
F you very much for standing behind me, Theo Epstein and Cubs. I'm Addison Russell.
This hour on The Score brought to you by St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Top of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Your Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves open the season Saturday, October 5th. For group and season tickets, visit chicagowolves.com. The segment brought to you by Gerber, Collision, and Glass. When do you get it to Gerber? When you back into someone who is backing out. That's when you get it to Gerber. Locations throughout Chicagoland. Visit GerberCollision.com or call 877-7-GERBER to find your nearest Gerber location. Ivan Nova, great game, 4 hits, complete game, 1 run, 9-1 for the White Sox last night. Yoan Moncada continues his star turn this year with his 18th homer. And our guest coming up in a couple of minutes, James McCann, it's a remarkable story.
He's McCann. He's just McCann.
I love the story so much. He's played his way into being an absolute piece of the future if they want him to be. Like, sure, maybe they trade him and try to go younger and go in-house, but
what, he's 29 or 30?
29, and
I thought he just turned 30.
Oh, okay. That's,
I'll check.
I suppose that is.
That's splitting hairs. But
yeah, no, it's possible if he just turned 30, my mistake. But 12 home runs. He is a run producer. He's doing a good job for you catching your young pitchers who matter. He's an all-star. He seems to be respected within that locker room and by the pitchers. Carries himself very well. It's just, this is a guy who was just outright released from a division rival with the Detroit Tigers. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years later, he's an all-star for you and maybe a foundational piece of the future. It's an incredible story.
Great story. Yeah, 29 years old.
29 years old for James McCann.
McCann!
So while the wins and losses for the Sox no longer really mattering this year, still plenty of solid individual wins on the diamond. So we've been wanting to talk to James McCann for a while. We will do that with the White Sox all-star catcher, James McCann, next. Mac and Parkins on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
James McCann in the air, right field. Ramirez can only look up. It's gone! A meaty solo home run for James McCann. And it's 8-1.
That's good walk-up music, ain't it?
It works. Is he your favorite player?
No. When he's walking to the plate, absolutely.
Okay, I figured he might be.
Well, I mean, he went to the University of Arkansas. James McCann did, and I think he lives there in the off season. So I've got Arkansas roots. I spent a lot of time in the Razorback State.
How much time?
Oh,
did you
as a
spend
kid,
there?
Quite a bit. My dad was from there, and my grandmother, my paternal grandmother, lived there, and we had many Thanksgivings there. Time in the summer on Lake Hamilton. Which is a little bit south of the capital of Little Rock. So quite a bit of time. Yeah, you know who the most famous Arkansan is ever?
Scottie Pippen?
No.
Okay.
Bill Clinton probably would be considered the most famous Arkansan.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Mary Steenburgen is an Arkansan.
Arkansan
I'm a big fan of hers.
It's a weird word. Arkansan.
It should be Arkansasin.
Right, but that would also be a weird
you
word.
You guys are missing somebody.
Who's that?
The old oak tree himself. Oak tree face looking guy himself.
Big oak tree face.
That big oak tree face. He's from Cabot, Arkansas. Dan Hampton.
Mm.
The oak tree face.
That big oak tree face.
So we think Dan Hampton is more famous than Bill Clinton? Is that what we're missing, Chef?
Does Bill Clinton have a big oak tree face that he's referred to by?
That's fair.
Something he referred to by. Was not a face, though.
Mm.
Yeah. That big oak tree face.
We're waiting for James McCann. He should be on the show shortly. Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Your Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves will open the season Saturday, October 5th. For group and season tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com.
It was a great night with the Cubs being a little bit later last night to check in on the White Sox. The White Sox get those windows every so often where the Cubs are either idle on a night when they locally have what we always have referred to as the island. Just themselves, there's other games in the league, but not involving a local, or they're delayed a little bit, and the Cubs start, around 8:40 last night,
yep.
And the White Sox put on a show. Nothing sparks that second-half rally like a few nights with the Marlins, right?
It certainly helps. And, you know, like I said, they went through their losing streak, and you can't even now fake that it matters about 500 or a second wild card or all of that. It's just about individual wins for players, and they've had plenty of them, and I really do think that Yoan Moncada has in some ways been overshadowed by Tim Anderson and Giolito. The jump that Moncada's made from last year to this year, he looks like he's back on track to superstardom. Like, he looks like he can be great.
Yeah, and that was the biggest thing for me going into the season. And a lot of people felt that Aloy was the biggest thing going into the season. I certainly understand why you feel that way, but Moncada with getting opportunities last year, but not enough to reach any conclusions, and I'm glad I didn't, or a lot of others didn't, because he didn't have enough career at-bats, and he's made remarkable progress offensively and defensively as well. And Tim Anderson, who is hopefully back very soon,
I'm ready
to see him go back to work, aren't you?
Yeah, he said 1 to 2 more weeks yesterday. That injury really hurt him. Injuries at the wrong time, tough schedule, obviously, and it didn't matter. Like, it was always kind of a mirage, and I know that there were some Sox fans who hated hearing that, but you just had too much youth on your pitching staff. You weren't ready for sustained success over 162.
Right, and you mentioned Giolito. That's the White Sox. That is baseball's comeback player of the year. And there's no one, I don't think, in the conversation with him. He went from statistically being the worst to among the best. He was an all-star.
Yeah.
That's a terrific turnaround. So there's something you didn't really know you were going to have. Moncada being the player you'd hoped he was when you made a deal for him. And hopefully Jimenez can find himself defensively if they continue to ask him to wear a glove that isn't a real nice, tight little batting glove. That big one doesn't look so good on him. Bad things happen sometimes.
Sometimes they certainly have. And now for the Sox, it'll be interesting to see how they deal with expectations. Because this offseason, they're going to spend, and they're going to call up more reinforcements, right? Kopech should be back from Tommy John. Luis Robert should be here,
right?
If it's not opening day,
you'll
it's
have
two
a little bit
in.
More seasoned Dylan Cease. You still need another arm.
Well, yeah, but that's where you're going to spend money. You know, maybe you go get Garrett Cole, one of the best starting pitchers in baseball. Maybe you throw
love to see the G train.
Maybe you throw $200 million at Garrett Cole to try to have him come to the South Side, right? Like you spend money on veterans to augment a really young core in a really winnable division with a lot of teams who don't spend a bunch of money, and you could win 87-90 games next year, and that puts you atop the American League Central in all likelihood.
Yeah, you could be a playoff team or right near it, at least in the thick of things. We haven't talked a ton about the closer. I'm all for the White Sox moving Colome if they so desire these next 8 days. What is today? The 23rd of the month? We got 8-9 days left until the trading deadline. If they want to move him for somebody, I'm okay with that. He's been great, but he's also getting older, and you don't know with bullpen guys, particularly closers, what you're getting from 1 year to the next. What's to say they don't hang on to him, and he's not the same guy next year when you had an opportunity to get some more pieces, or at least one starting pitcher, a prospect, something?
Basically anyone who only has one more year of control, you should be willing to trade. And then especially a bullpen piece because of all of that volatility. But your window begins next year, and then you hope it goes another 5, 6, 7 years after that, right? Starting next year, you hope it goes, you know, if these young pieces are the core that are together for another 4 to 6 or 7 years, depending on the contract, that's when it begins. So if Colome is only there for 1 year of it, why would it possibly be in your best interest to keep him?
If
you can't get anything for him, fine. Have him try to help you make the playoffs next year. Mm-hmm. But if you can get a piece that can then be there for the next 5 playoff pushes, I think you go ahead and do that, no question about it. How do you feel about the idea of trading Jose Abreu and then trying to sign him back in free agency?
I'm okay with that. I'm not 100% convinced that I want him back as a free agent, but if they could get a piece for him and bring him back, if they can have a little wink-wink arrangement, I'm good with that. He seems to want to be here. His teammates want him here, but of course they're emotionally attached, and I think that's when management has to not make those decisions based on emotion. You got to do it based on reason, and reasons to move him along, there's a couple of them. The left fielder does not look like he's going to be very good. That's an excellent reason why you say, all right, we got a power hitting position. We got a guy who looks like he gets this. He's going to be a 3,100 guy for several years to come. Let's put him at first base now and let Jose Abreu go his happy way. But everybody talks about the intrinsic value he has in the clubhouse, and I don't dismiss that. I value it. I just think you got to make a decision that's devoid of emotion, and if you really believe that Abreu is still going to be swinging a great bat in 2-3 years, then sign him. But I wouldn't do it for a big price.
Texter is saying that Johnny Cash has to get the 1 seed from Arkansas.
They would be correct after, well, Cash or Bill Clinton. I would still say Bill Clinton.
I probably would also. Yeah. But I mean, it's
Johnny
that's
Cash.
A debate.
Yeah, that's another one. There's a few actors, I think, who actors and musicians who hail from the great state of Arkansas. Former Indians left-hander Cliff Lee is from the same hometown as my dad, Benton, Arkansas.
That would have been a terrible omission on our part if we didn't mention Clifford Lee. Well, James McCann probably can't crack the Mount Rushmore of Arkansas, but he can apologize for being late. He will join us.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Next on The Score.
And now the American League All-Star Team from the Chicago White Sox, James McCann. There's one into right center field. Blackman will cut it off. Going first to third is Chapman. And the AL could bust it open here in the seventh is James McCann, who hit 220 last year, hitting 316. And that 96-point increase is the biggest in MLB this year, and he's an all-star. He's got a hit.
It's one of the best stories in baseball. James McCann, the all-star, 3 home runs in his last 7 games. He's on an absolute tear, and the White Sox catcher joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Hey, James, thanks for the time.
Absolutely. How are y'all doing?
We're outstanding, James. It's good to have you on board. And while we were waiting for you a few minutes back, we were just chopping it up on the great state of Arkansas, which I have a history in it. We got a guy listening. He's on his pontoon boat fishing for catfish on Lake Norfolk right now, listening on his radio.com app. Everybody loving the success story of the Arkansas Razorback. Do you spend a lot of time there in the you live there in the off season still, is that correct?
I used to live there. So 2017 offseason, my wife and I, right before we had our twin boys, moved to the Nashville area. But I've lived there since I was in Arkansas from the time I went to school there when I was 18 until 2017.
A bass fisherman, not by trade, but is that your favorite thing to do?
I prefer to deer and duck hunt.
Okay, you got to shoot something.
Yeah, Arkansas is the duck hunting capital of the world, so I really got into that while I was there.
How's your shot?
It's not too bad.
Yeah, do you take any of your teammates with you?
You know, I haven't actually gone since I had our boys back in 2017, but I did go with my teammates prior to that.
You ever consider just picking up a ball and trying to knock out an animal with a baseball? I mean, the way you gun down runners, which we're not used to seeing on the South Side, it's a privilege to see a catcher actually throw out base runners. Would that work?
You know, I actually haven't thought about that until you just said something like that.
It could work, though.
It could, but you know what? That's the time of year where I'm letting my arm rest, so it's really not in shape for that at that time.
That's smart. We're talking to White Sox All-Star James McCann. Is it weird to have that superlative attached to your name?
You know, I don't want to say it's weird, but it's definitely pretty neat. It's not something that, it's not even really a dream, to be honest with you. You don't dream that one day someone's going to call you an All-Star. It's just kind of one of those things that you constantly strive for, and now that it's happened, it's pretty neat.
To what do you attribute the radical turnaround in your production?
You know, honestly, it was just figuring out who I was as a player. I was blessed to come up with some really good hitters, guys like Miguel Cabrera, J.D. Martinez, Victor Martinez. But it was honestly a curse in the same sense that I saw all the things they were doing and I was trying to do the same thing as them. And in reality, that's not James McCann. James McCann has to be who James McCann is, and he can't be anybody else.
Wow, the triple third person. That was impressive, James.
It just kind of flowed. I didn't really mean to say it like that.
That was very impressive. Did you have help coming to that realization that you needed to be your own player, or did someone point it out to you?
You know, it was mostly myself. I had a down year last year in 2018, and that was no secret. And it wasn't back to the drawing boards, but it was back to, all right, you know, who am I as a hitter? Who do I want to be as a hitter? And it was honestly trying to get back to closer to who I was when I first broke into the league in 2014 and who I was in the minor leagues that got me to the big leagues. The guy that I work out with in the off season, Logan Forsyth, he actually played at the University of Arkansas as well. He and I hit all off season together and we talked, and he's got almost 8 years in the big league. So he's been there, done that. And he was kind of a sounding board for me to kind of voice my opinion. And he, you know, just kind of approved it and said, you're exactly right. You need to be the best you possible, not be anybody else.
So as you have arrived, how have you balanced your own stardom? You're an all-star. You were in Cleveland. You're an all-star. With young pitchers, Lucas Giolito accepted, who are struggling, how to come across as instructive but not arrogant for a guy whose success is 4 months of a baseball season for the most part.
Well, you know, I've been on the struggling side of things in my career. You know, I've had good years, I've had down years. I know what it's like to go through an extended period of struggling. So it's one of those things where I know how a guy feels when things aren't going their way. I know what it's like to grind and grind and grind and show up every day to work, and you know, it never seems like the results go in your favor. So it's really not that hard for me to be able to relate to someone who, you know, maybe isn't going, you know, things aren't going as well as they'd like.
So which is tougher to deal with, the physical side of a very tough sport or the mental side?
The mental side, 100%. You know, the physical side, you train your body to deal with. You're going to go through the aches and pains of a long season. It's the mental side. The mental side is what keeps you up at night. The mental side is what you know, holds a lot of players back. And as soon as you can get over the mental side, it's it definitely is going to help your game. But I don't think you're ever truly immune from feeling the effects of, man, I'm 0 for my last, you know, 12. I got to figure out how to get a hit tonight. Or, you know, as a pitcher, I haven't thrown well in two outings. I need to figure out how to get a guy out today. You know, that's always going to be that constant battle of the mental side of the game that a lot of people don't understand that comes with the game of baseball.
Most catchers are weight room guys. Do you, at some point late in the season, taper a little bit, or do you continue to hit the gym with a regular regimen?
You know, I continue to hit the gym with a regular regimen, but it does taper off a little bit. Beginning of season, spring training, I hit it pretty hard. And, you know, I tell people I don't want to peak in April. I want to be able to peak in the middle of the summer and into the end of the season. I want to be just as strong come September, October as I was in April. So there comes a point in time right around this time of the season where you're not necessarily trying to gain strength as much as you're just trying to maintain what you've already gained.
White Sox catcher James McCann with us for another couple of minutes. McNeil and Parkins on the score. So much of the talk that we hear from callers, texters, people on the internet is about the future of the White Sox. You now might be a big part of the future. How bright would you say to White Sox fans listening right now that it's going to be?
It's going to be special. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, I knew it watching from as an outsider playing against these guys, watching, you know, the Mankatas and the Tim Andersons, and, you know, knowing what they had in their system and watching, you know, now Giolito progressing, Cease come up. There's just a lot of good things coming here on the South Side, and, you know, I hope to be a part of it for several years to come.
Do you worry, given that you are older than some of those other names that you just mentioned, and your name does get linked in some trade discussion, about whether you will be a part of the future here?
You know, I don't worry about that at all. I've played enough to know that I can't control the business side of things, and there's always going to be that side that is always out there. That's for someone else in a different area of the game to worry about. For me, I worry about showing up every day, doing everything I can to help the team win and being the best possible teammate that I can be.
As we as media guys and fans kick around who's going to be around for the long haul, Jose Abreu's name comes up regularly, and all of the guys, it seems like, who are in that clubhouse with you, James, are fans of Jose's. What specifically does his leadership mean in your room?
Well, you know, one of the things that really sticks out to me is he's a superstar, but he doesn't act like one. The numbers that he's put up since he's been in the big leagues, they're superstar numbers, and you would never know that he was a superstar based on the way he acts. He's one of the first guys here every day. He's one of the last guys to leave. He's in the weight room every day. He's in the cage every day. He works, and he sets an example, via action that not a lot of superstars do. You know, there's a lot of superstars that go about their business a little bit differently, and he's a quiet worker, and he leads by example for sure.
Who do you think the next White Sox superstar is?
Oh man, you can take your choice, but I think a guy like Mankata is a safe bet. You see what he's doing. I just think he's a special talent, and how young he is, I think he's only going to continue to get better.
Texter just asked for amplification on Abreu. Can you ask James what he said to Abreu that made him laugh after the home run?
Was that last night?
I believe that's what he's referencing, yeah.
Okay. So, coming off the All-Star break, I haven't been swinging the hottest bat, and he's been constantly telling me to just relax, don't worry about it. You know, you're going to go through stretches like this, and he told me, he said, "Now that's a good swing." That's after I hit my home run. He said, "That's a good swing. That's what I've been talking to you about." And I said, "Yeah, it's only taken 2 weeks." And he thought it was pretty funny.
Little self-deprecation. We're talking to James McCann for another couple of minutes here. McNeil and Parkins on the Score. Back to the mental side of the game for a second. When I hear Giolito and Cease talk about how they approach it, it seems like they're on a different wavelength than a lot of young pitchers in terms of dealing with that side of the game. How do you get on the same page with those guys who approach it on such a cerebral level?
Well, the big thing for me is it makes it easy. It makes it easy in the sense that they're trying to limit the amount of things going through their head. They want to have a few keys and that be it. But it also, the hardest thing for a young pitcher to have at the big league level is composure. The game speeds up on young guys. There's a lot of different things going on that young guys can't always control. And they've both done a pretty darn good job this year of being, keeping that poise and remaining calm, even in big situations. And that's the biggest thing for me is when I see, the game starts to speed up a little bit or the effort level try and rise because they feel like they need to do more. And then it's my job to go out there and say, hey, let's get back to who we are. Let's relax a little bit and allow everything that you have going on good to come out. And because that's ultimately what happens when the effort level rises and you lose that, you're not allowing your body to perform the way that you've trained it to.
You an AC/DC fan, or is that just a cool walk-up riff for you?
I'm an old school guy. I do like AC/DC. I don't listen to the new rap, hip-hop, whatever you want to call it. I'm more of a country rock kind of guy.
Okay, Leonard Skinner, the Allman Brothers, that sort of thing.
That's all my dad ever listened to growing up. So I
wow, you're an old soul at 29. I like it.
I've heard all the music. Now I will say I can't remember lyrics to save my life. It doesn't matter what song it is. I could hear it 1,000 times, and I probably won't be able to repeat the chorus to you. But I could tell you how we pitched a guy 2 weeks ago.
Well, and James, and I will tell you that you can call it rap or hip-hop.
Okay.
Whichever you want to call it, either one is fine.
Pleasure visiting with you, James. Thanks for the time this afternoon. Keep tearing it up, man.
All right, thank you. Y'all take care.
Thank you very much. That is White Sox all-star catcher James McCann. Hub Arkish was speaking with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy in Decatur just a couple days ago, and he's getting ready to head to Bourbonnais. We'll talk to Hub next on the Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.